Good morning. I thought that we should sing that to him before this man said it, but I didn't know what George's last name is. Now I know. George, how many years were you married? 64. Just like a day. There you go, Timothy. Just like a day, eh? That's more years than what I am old. Wow, I can't wrap my mind around it. That's fantastic. That's special. And you know what he told me this morning? He wouldn't even trade his wife for the Queen of England. Yeah, that's very precious. And it reminds me of the book of Proverbs. It's a joy to be with you again today. I'm grateful. And thank you for praying for us. Thank you for inviting us back again. I walked into church this morning and I said to Frank, if I moved to Edmonton, this is the church I'd make my home. This one, yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We just can't mine all the depths of the riches of even just one of the 66 books, the book of Proverbs. Lord, we ask you to open up this book to our hearts and our wills. In Jesus' name, amen. Some time ago, Frank asked me if I would come and give an overview of the book of Proverbs. And I was thinking of that, thought, my, you know, the last time I've actually studied it, like I've read and read and read in it, but the last time I studied it was almost 40 years ago in Bible school, and it was lumped together with other books. So I truly don't remember a thing from Bible school about the book of Proverbs. So now as I was studying and researching, it's amazing how special that book is, and I felt like I was drinking out of many fire hoses, and that really it should be a series. Maybe the series would last many months to speak on what is in Proverbs. But let's do what we can with it, or that the Lord would do what he wants with it in the minutes that we have together this morning. If I would give this message a title, I would just say wisdom. Just one word, wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is like this. It's seeing through God's perspective. That's what godly wisdom is. It's not a bunch of knowledge packed up here, but it's seeing life from God's perspective. Number two, it's living life. So it's not just seeing it, but it's living it. Like walking through life with God's perspective. It's living it. And number three is when you're at the end of the road, like George's wife. She died. So when you come to the end of life and you're finishing well from, again, God's perspective, that is godly wisdom. So when we look at the book of Proverbs, that's what it's about. And I guess the shortest way that God describes it is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord, that's just the beginning of it. And I liked what somebody prayed here this morning in the last service, in the previous service here. He said, prayed something like, and if we had, or something along the lines of, even in eternity, we will not have enough time to sing and to speak of all that the Savior has done for us. So when we think of just the beginning, there's very much there, isn't there? About our Lord, about our Savior, his person, and his work. So by way of introduction, I would just like to mention a few things about Proverbs. In Chronicles, we are told that Solomon, when he became king, he asked the Lord, Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom how to guide this people. And God said to him, because you didn't ask for fame or riches, I will actually give you fame and riches more than any king before you or ever that will come after you. That's quite something. And he would also give him wisdom. And it's interesting that in the book of Kings, it tells us there that he wrote over 1,000 songs. I've only written one. He wrote over 1,000. And it tells us that he wrote 3,000 proverbs. That's a lot of writing. That's 4,000 things, more than 4,000. And in my research, somewhere I read that about 800 of the 3,000 are here. Wouldn't it be something to read the others? What if the others were here and we could read like 3 to 4 times more than what's here? Wow, it's hard just to devour these, eh? It's amazing. And if I would think of maybe some keys to understanding Proverbs, oh, by the way, the word wisdom is found 54 times in this book. It's a lot of times. And the fear of the Lord, 10 times in this book. But if we think of some keys to understanding the book of Proverbs, one is that the book of Proverbs is general principles, not categorical promises that go from wall to wall. So, for example, if we think of train up a child in the way which he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not a categorical promise that all kids will turn out if taught this way, but they are general principles that hold water. So, for example, if we give ourselves to living the principles and teaching our children in it right through teen years and into their college and career years, the probability of them turning out according to godly wisdom is very high. But if we don't, for example, since New Year's, I was in a home in BC, and the mother used to be a missionary overseas, and I asked a few questions because I was concerned, and, oh, no, we don't go to church. We like to go out with our friends. We like to take our kids to social events and to sports events, and we want to let them decide when they grow up. So what is the probability there of those kids living a God-honoring life? Like of seeing life through God's perspective, and of living life through God's perspective, and of finishing well in God's perspective? The probability is very low, right? So when we see the book of Proverbs as general principles with life application, as opposed to categorical promises, that helps us understand the book of Proverbs a lot better. And the reason I say this is some people, they've taken that verse and they said, but God's word said they would turn out, and he didn't turn out. And then they become disillusioned, and walk away. And that's not right. That's not why God was giving this book of Proverbs to us. These are principles to help us along life's journey so that we can end well in his sight. If you're taking notes, here are the six categories in the book of Proverbs. One place I was reading said that book of Proverbs is one of the most confusing books to show the breakdown of the book. And because it looks like every three verses you're into a different topic, and how do these relate to each other and so on. And it can be very confusing, but I think there is a pattern in there. And there are six, and here's the first one. The purpose is in the first seven verses. So number one is purpose, and it's the first seven verses. Number two is fatherly advice, chapters 1-9. Number three, principles for godly living. You could just put godly living, chapters 10-24. And number four, principles for relationship. You could just put REL for relationship. And that would be chapters 25-29. And then number five is the Proverbs of Agur. It's just one chapter, 30. And then number six is the Proverbs of Lemuel, which is in chapter 31, which has to do with a virtuous woman. And most people, if you ask them about Proverbs, they're familiar with that chapter. So that would be a general outline. Let's go and flesh a little bit of this in, and I'd like to give a few illustrations that I've noticed in life. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. My Bible at the top of that page says, the book of Proverbs. Well, what is a proverb? A proverb is a parable. It's a comparison. That's what the Hebrew word proverb means. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. And we already talked about him. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, about 800 are here. The son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom, and I circled the word wisdom because that is the main thing of the whole book, wisdom. To know wisdom, and what is it? It's to see life from God's perspective. So most politicians aren't even interested in that, right? But for us who know God and walk with him, it's not just knowing about life in general or how it works, but from his perspective, how does he want life lived? To see it, to live it, and to finish well from his perspective. So to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, you could circle understanding because that word is used many times in this book. When it says to perceive the words of understanding, I view it like this. to grasp it. Like, we get it. That is the purpose of this book, that we get it. It's not to hide it. It's like, here, children, please see it how it is. Come and learn. Come and give yourself. Surrender to it. We can live our life on our own, which is what the devil wants us to do. But God has meant us, He designed life that we live in surrender to His Lordship, that we live for Him every day. Like, we get up, okay, Lord, what would you have for me? How can I honor you today? And we come to decisions. Okay, Lord, should I buy this today or shouldn't I buy this today? Lord, how do I answer this neighbor? How do I answer this problem? How do I raise my children? How do I treat my animals? It talks about it here. Verse 3, to receive instruction, wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. There's a lot of those things in the world, but they don't see it from God's perspective, and that's why it's warped and twisted. And actually, Christians aren't treated equally. They're not treated equally. So their equity and their view of tolerance is very different than the biblical world view of that. Number 4, verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, that means to give wisdom to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, so that he can face things and he can discern it from where? Well, from God's eyes, from God's perspective. Always God's perspective, God's perspective, because we belong to Him, we're to be yielded to Him, we're to walk with Him moment by moment. It's all about Him, it's nothing about us, it's all about Him. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and its interpretation, who does that remind you when you hear the word interpretation? Just hold your finger here, but look to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. So if we go to Daniel chapter 1, so here are young guys who have listened to their dad, right? The fatherly advice. And in Daniel chapter 1, it says, verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning, and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding. We see these key words here. These boys nailed it. They got it, hey? And look in verse 20. In all matters of, here's these same key words, wisdom, understanding, that the king had inquired of them. Isn't that interesting? They got these specific things. I like that. Back to Proverbs. So if we look at the Proverbs, they are short, pithy sayings. I believe God did it like that so that we could remember them, so we don't get bogged down, so that even kids can know them, and teens, and college and career, and then the adults. So there are different forms of them. There's poems, parables, similes, comparisons, questions, antithesis, couplets, personification, and more that I would even have to look up because I didn't even know I hadn't heard those words before. There's many, many, many things. And it's easy for God to think these up and to give them to Solomon to write them down. Let's end this first part with verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Always there's these contrasts, these comparisons. The wise person with the fool. Sometimes it's like the righteous as compared to the wicked, okay? In Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or in chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so I hold that dear. Let's keep going. So that's number one, is the purpose of the book. Number two is the fatherly advice, and there are about 10 of them, and they all start with, my son. That's how they start. So let's look at the first one. So this is under the second category now. It's the fatherly advice, the 10 my sons. And we aren't going to go through all 10. We don't have the time, but we'll look at a few. So look in chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So this is the one to kids and grandkids. Hey? So what is he saying there? He's saying two things there. He's saying we're supposed to listen and we're supposed to hang on to it. Never let it go. Listen for it. Like, kids should be listening up, right? And then what they hear, hold it dear. Don't say, well, now I'm a teenager, I don't need to do that anymore. Or now I'm in college and career, I don't need to listen to that anymore. Or now I'm married, I don't need to listen to that anymore. Or now I'm 65, I don't need that anymore. Hold it dear and never let go. And that theme comes out over and over and over in the book. Over and over. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains about your neck. It will grace you. It will help you. So that's for kids. And that comes through in the book a number of times. Now let's go to the older ones. Let's go to the teenagers. And let me find my notes here. So for the teenagers, it would be like this. Avoid bad company and pursue wisdom. So avoid bad company. That's the next, my son. Verse 10. So verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say, hey, come on, we thought this up. Come on, let's go do this evil. And he says, no, avoid bad company. Don't even hang out with them. I think it's in Corinthians, it says bad company corrupts. It's reiterated in verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. It's not saying that you can't be friends with your non-Christian neighbor. It's not saying that. What it's saying is they are not our bosom pal. I befriend everybody. But who do I seek my friendship with? Those of kindred spirit, those who want to see life from God's perspective, those who want to walk life with God guiding them, and those who want to finish well in His perspective. That's where I want to seek kindred spirit. That's who I want to hang out with, go camping with, etc. I'm going to spend a little more time here on the teens. I know we don't have many teens here, but all the principles that are true for the kids and true for the teens still apply to us who are older. So when he says avoid those things but seek wisdom, here's the seeking wisdom. Chapter 2, my son, see there it is, that key. My son, chapter 2 verse 1, if you will receive, and I circled receive, verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. It's like you put your ear like this and you wrap your ear right around that wisdom. You just incline your ear to wisdom. Next one, verse 3. If you cry after knowledge, like, hey, I want you. I want knowledge. I want wisdom, God's wisdom. And you cry after it. Verse 4. If you seek her as for silver, I didn't bring any coins in my pocket today, but if I dropped a quarter, I'd be looking for it, looking, and there it is, it's shiny, and I pick it up. I don't just ignore it, I go after it, right? But the next part is even stronger, and here's our first story from life. So, verse 4, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. So one day, there was a man who told me he lost his gold. He thought he had it taken very well care of. He put it in this old building where no one will look. Log, no floor, nobody will look in that dilapidated place. And he dug and he hid it there. And years later, he was moving and he couldn't find it. He was digging and he couldn't find it. And he asked me about it. And I said, well, where do you think it was? And he said, well, I thought it was around here that I had buried it. And we dug there and dug there and we couldn't find it. And he was ready to give up. And I said, are you sure you buried it in this building? He said, yes. I said, we're not leaving till we find it. We're going to search for it as for hid treasure. And it was a bunch of pieces of gold. We're not going to leave it there. I don't know if I'd ever seen gold in my life other than on a wedding ring, right? So we dug and we dug and we dug and we found it. We found it. That's a true story. Yeah. So we searched for it as for hid treasure. How are we to go for wisdom? Like that. Like that. You go after it. Nothing deters you. Nothing from the world or CBC or whatever. No. We go for the wisdom of God. Not the modern changing of terms and changing of marriage and this and that. No. From God's perspective, we go after it. You know what? A lot of people don't. If you look in chapter 1, verse 24. So chapter 1, verse 24. Because I have called and you refused. They rejected God's wisdom. They didn't want it. They didn't want to go for it. Here's another one in verse 29. The end of 29. It says, did not choose the fear of the Lord. No, not going to do that. Here's another one. Verse 30, the end of the verse. They despised all my reproof. Look down on it. Thumbs down. Is that what our culture is doing today? Thumbs down. You know, we couldn't have the Bible in school. Oh no. This kind of stuff. Oh no, we couldn't have kids hear about this. This would be terrible, right? That's the attitude. It's so sad. The best is rejected and refused. It reminds me of the last words of 22. So Proverbs 1 verse 22, the last words, it says, "And fools hate knowledge." They hate it. Pretty strong language God has. Does God have a right to say it? He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the King of kings. It says, "Fools hate knowledge." And look at the first line of 29. "For they that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my proof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way." And I put a black box around "own way." Is it God's way or my own way? My own way leads to destruction. And the next line, "and be filled with their own devices." It's either his or our own. And there's no comparison. There's no comparison. Chapter 3. No, we'll go back to chapter 2. I want to give an illustration here. This just happened. There was a girl. She was taken in by a Christian family. A lovely Christian family. How they loved the Lord. And they taught her and taught her. And verse 13, chapter 2, 13. "Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." Her life at the end was the ways of darkness. That was the word used to describe her, darkness. I saw her artwork. She's 14. It's very dark. It reminded me of demonic stuff. Very, very dark. But she left righteousness, went the path of darkness. Verse 17, "which forsake the guide of her youth and forgetteth the God of her covenant." And recently she hung herself at the age of 14. Does God, who is the personification of wisdom, know what he's talking about? Yes, he does. And it's very serious. The last verse of chapter 2. "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Another illustration. One day, a student came to me at Bible school. One of our students. He had been a gang member in Winnipeg. I can't remember the name of the gang. He was the enforcer. The one who breaks your limbs if you don't pay up. That's what he had been. But God saved him. He was so thankful God saved him. He said, "You know what? Most of my gang is gone. They either died of overdoses, or they're in prison, or they got shot. Most of them are gone." It reminded me of that verse. "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth." Is it serious? Really serious. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord." I want to show pictures of this today. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to what? Your own understanding." There's that word "own" again. Okay? It's either his or our own. Don't lean on our own. Trust in him. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." A life lived in dependence on him, or I go my own way. The contrast is there. Let's skip to chapter 4. There's a bunch of my sons in here, but we'll skip to chapter 4. Verse 1. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine," that means good teaching, "forsake not my law, for I was my father's son, tender, only beloved," like it was his dad's, like when he's the only boy in the family or the only kid, it's like tender and beloved and come, eh? "Rock you on my knee," and this and that. Verse 4, "He taught me also, and he said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live," not suicide, but life. Verse 5, "get wisdom." That's the theme of the book. Get wisdom. Get understanding. "Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee." In other words, you come to the end of life, you'll have lived well from his perspective, eh? It will preserve thee. Verse 7, "wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." Eh? Well, we are kind of in point number 2 out of 6, but I want to show you some pictures. So I think I will just skip the rest, but I would say some things before I go to the pictures. The book of Proverbs talks so much about the comparisons of the diligent to the slothful, relationships that are healthy and blossoming with those that are suffering and lead to isolation, loneliness, humbleness versus the proud, morality versus immorality, trusting God versus leaning on our own self, Wealth versus poverty. Diligence versus slothfulness. Wisdom which surrenders to God. Foolishness which rejects God. There's all those kind of comparisons. If I would jump to point number four, the fourth section, the relationship, relationships with neighbors, with enemies, with yourself, with fools, with sluggards, with gossips, regulations for activities, many, many, many things. Like I say, it was like a fire hydrant, trying to drink out of a couple fire hydrants all at once. I couldn't do it. I tried, but I got drowned. So going back to the very first thing, wisdom. Do you, in your life, are you seeing life from God's perspective? Are you living it each day from God's perspective? We're all at different points in our journey. Today, our brother George is 94. Someday, all of us will be at the end, eh? Janessa made it to 3 years, and then she died. You were past three. But someday, we all stand at the end. Will we have lived successfully? Not in our own eyes, but from His view of us. Because someday, we will stand and give an account.